email spam. What is it with these people? What honestly makes them think that if somebody really does want Viagra, that they're going to go for the people who can spell it in the most peculiar fashion? That's not exactly your guarantee of quality. I mean, if you want Viagra, just take the word out of your filter and let the offers flood you. But, you know, no, I'm not going to go with that legitimate merchant there. I'm going to go with this guy who spells Viagra with two inverted exclamation points. Ugh. Yes, it's another day of approving comments at buzz.mn, but it's good. It's fun. And I'm starting to settle down, and I'm happy, glad to be relaxing for a second here at the diner. Hi, folks. James Lilacs here at the diner, at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Cotter, the diner on an old Highway 23, about 18.5 minutes from wherever you happen to be at this very, very minute. Let us see what is on the chalkboard menu by the door. Minute steak with hasty sauce. I'll have some of that. Just make it fast. The hasty sauce is actually ketchup with a little Heinz 57 mixed into it. The ketchup cuts the bold, forward taste of Heinz 57. It's a little too much condiment for some people. When I was growing up in Fargo, Heinz 57 was the king of condiments. That was what adults had. Some people were A1 families. We were Heinz 57 families. And you knew you'd come of age. It was almost sort of a culinary bar mitzvah when you finally could take Heinz 57 without making a face. I have no idea what the special ingredient is, or how they get it to be that hue, which, frankly, I've seen come out of the rear ends of dogs and babies. But, nevertheless, it is one of my favorite sauces. It's not as good as A1. It's not as good as a good Worcestershire sauce or any of the other fine condiments. And, of course, I'm admitting that I'm somewhat of a barbarian for the fact that I actually put sauce on steak. Steak ought to speak for itself, I suppose. And often it does. But if it's one of the cheaper meats that's been charred to my satisfaction, well, you gotta cut the charcoal there with a little saucy delight. So good food fast would be fine because I'm busy. Busy. Busy last week. And then busy this week. But I'm busy with different things. School is out, which means that summer school has begun. And summer school, I should note, is not some sort of grim place where the child is sent to be locked up in some educational box and learn things that are actually useful. No, this is just, essentially they're telling you, we'll take the kid off your hands for 2.5 hours. Go to Target. Go to Target and try to buy something. And don't have to worry about somebody whining for a 900-piece Polly Pocket set. Just go. We'll take care of them. And most of the people who are dropping off the kids at this particular place are mothers. There's the rare underemployed father, or a guy who's managed to arrange his life so that he can do what he pleases when he pleases. They're rare. Mostly it's harried moms who are dropping off one or two kids and have another one on their hip, which they then schlep back out to the van, stuff in the seat, off to Target. It's very odd, though. The classes are things like gooey cakes. You know, you pay them $35 and they spend 3-4 mornings making gooey cakes. And we're not exactly talking Top Chef, Iron Chef instruction levels here. It's all high school kids who volunteer to teach these things. And I assume they're pre-vetted for my convenience. But, you know, you never know. But yet, the program is so well-known that we all just trust it. Hello there, gangly, pimply-faced person who is teaching Yu-Gi-Oh! What are your qualifications here? Your background check? No, you're a kid who showed up. All right, here, have my tot. Be back in 3 hours. And it's a madhouse every morning. Every morning into this un-air-conditioned school people pile. Sometimes, if it's been raining, everyone's damp and your hair is plastered and hangs against your forehead and you're miserable and shivering. Or you're miserable and hot and it's just chaos. The kids are running everywhere. The counselors are here, there, thither, and yon. And over it all is the over-amplified voice of the man who presides over the program, who gives you pertinent, useful, and necessary information like this. It's like the husband of the Charlie Brown school teacher is doing the announcements. And on Thursday, there's ice cream, which happens to be at 12 o'clock, thereby spoiling the meal. Lunch that you have carefully prepared at home. But it's fun. And in the afternoon, there's some other class, some other place. So essentially, I take her there, run back home. I wish I could do it for the diner. When I get my wireless card, I'll be able to do the whole job from the diner. Take her to the school, run back home, bang out some stuff for Buzz, you know, approve the comments, look at the emails, vet this, vet that, look for stuff I can promote to the front page, throw down a sandwich, run to the school, pick her up, back we go, give her some baloney, do some more buzzwork, take her back to another place, go to the office, and then meet with people and talk about this. And all the time that I'm actually doing office work and talking to people and building the site of the future, in the back of my mind is this little nagging thing, thou must post, thou must post, thou must post. To make matters worse, well, worse or better, not sure. I lost my cell phone. It was somewhere around the house. I would hear an indistinct beeping of sorrow and resignation as the battery went down, but I could never quite find it. Finally found it behind somewhere in the closet, behind something or other. And I also had a trouble with my email. I had some sort of compacted email database error that could not allow me to get into anything. I finally did about 6 hours or so ago. But it meant that I had no email of my own and no cell phone. You know what that's like? Heaven. Absolute sheer heaven. With all of these little devices dinging and bonging and the rest of us and telling us that our attention is wanted, I'm surprised that humankind has not yet come up with a small little device that attaches to your occipital lobe and periodically just jabs a needle into your skin or your skull just for kicks and grins, just to get your attention. And then you have to walk across the room and turn it off or something like that. That would complete the whole sense of being plugged in 24/7. Well, not here at the diner. Where's my minute steak? Where's my... Oh, thank you. Okay, here it comes. Took him 3 minutes. I don't have 3 minutes. Well, in this harried state, I imagine that the diner is full of harried music. It takes a harried man to sing a harried song. I'm harried now, but I won't, etc. So let's see what we have here. Let's go right to the top of the pops, to the toppermost, to the poppermost, and see what's playing the diner jukebox today. Stalked overnight by the mysterious man I've never met who somehow seems to anticipate my every mood. Let's go to A... No. No, he'd think I'd go to A1, wouldn't he? Let's go to Z12. I'm expecting Laura Palmer at any moment. Or maybe Audrey. Audrey would be nice.
The butterfly is drunk on sunshine.
What?
He reels against the garden wall. Not seeing me there, he hunts among the snapdragons and phallic foxgloves. Unaware, you paint your toenails pink.
What the hell was... All right, well, maybe I should not go against the intuitive wisdom of the guy who stocks the jukebox. Let's go back to A1. I know this one. This is the Mancini tune. The Greatest Gift, I think, from one of the endless numbers of Pink Panther movies. All the movies had a moment like this, where this theme would play, and then in would walk the blonde, bosomy starlet who couldn't speak English of the moment, who, you know, Claudette Eckbergerina or something like that. And it would always just sort of kill the comedy dead. But at least you knew who Peter Sellers was trying to sleep with during the production. Let's hear a little more. Mancini was always good for a romantic theme like this, though. None better. Yeah, very relaxing, very relaxing. I'm sorry, I can't stop thinking about Z12. That guy talking about the drunken butterfly. Now there's always time for Mancini. Who knows what's back there? Let's go back there and see what we find on... Because there's no labels. It's just blank. Well, let's go back to Z10.
Thank you.
Well, it seems normal enough. Remarkably lacking in forward momentum, and appears to be a frog in the studio, but, I wonder what happened to that guy. I guess that was his one hit. So let's try Z10.
The sky is the forehead of the morning.
What?
Passing the sun along the day.
The sky is the forehead of the morning?
Distributing the clouds that move above us.
Distributing, there's a poetic word.
And go with us till nightfall.
Distributing.
And your eyes are the bottom of the day.
The bottom?
Set on fire by woods.
Set on fire by woods?
Made to move by sighs and tree rustlings.
So woods set her eyes on fire, and then there's treelessness, so this is some protest against deforestation or something like that. I don't know what the hell this guy is on. Why he's on the diner jukebox anymore.
We'll go to the hills then. Take our time.
That you're doing.
Climb the hills till we find one closest to the sky.
That would be the highest hill, wouldn't it?
I'll spread a blanket on the ground and
disembowel you for my own pleasure and that of the woodland animals.
You'll face the sky and count the clouds. And when the counting stops,
then what?
I'll take you home again.
Oh, Mr. Thrill-a-Minute here.
Down a dozen hills, under 100 skies.
No, there's just one sky.
We'll go together.
You and I, like a patient etherized on the table. Which I'm sure she is, because he chloroformed her so he could have his way with her without her untimely protestations. This is the creepiest love poetry I've ever heard, if that's what it is. Tempted to get the 45 out of the jukebox and see if it's by Richard Speck. You know, a guy would never buy this album. Ever. He might shoplift it to have it on hand in case, you know, he got an English major over and wanted to impress her with his soulfulness. But a guy would never slap this on just to listen to while doing stuff around the house. This is aimed squarely at the 15-year-old girl market, I think, who sits in her room, lays on the bed with her ankles crossed, and dreams of a dreamy poet guy like this coming along someday, and maybe he'll look like a Chad Everett.
If I do anything you didn't expect, let me know.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
Next time.
You don't need to take my temperature that way. And don't tell me that's a thermometer, because it isn't. And as the drunken horn player enters the scene, our hero ambles off to dispose of the remains in a variety of shallow graves, hoping that the woodland creatures of the night will take them off and chew them and render them unrecognizable to even the finest forensic techniques of 1974. Wow. Odd. You know, I've got this peculiar feeling. Mancini's an A, or at least he was. This guy's hanging back there in the Z's. Makes you want to go back and see what's on A2, doesn't it? I hope it's Mancini. I really hope it's Mancini. A2.
Oh, yeah! Va! Subito! Squeeze box a la frog, s'il vous plaît?
Better Be Tonight. I love that tune, but I'm turning it down here because good as it is, wonderful as it is, I just can't help think what there might be in the Z's. I'm going back and see what's at Z8.
Cranko's having a party at his pad on August Alley with genuine imported beatniks from Los Angeles and everything. Bring your own refreshments, as long as they wear leotards. It should be a gas. Get there early, though. Cranko knows everybody, including Frida, who strips at the drop of a penny, and Raffia the poet, who was not only an angry young man, but a dirty old man as well. I like Cranko. He has wheels. He once told the proprietor of the Renaissance he was Woody Guthrie. Had him selling tickets for a folk song concert. Oh, and another time he sold tickets for a reincarnation party for James Dean and Dylan Thomas. The cat's not commercial or anything. It's just that even that hole he lives in costs money. Anyway, he's having a party and you're invited. If you got any lead belly or bird records, you don't have to bring any wine.
Okay, well that's just criminally bad. That may be so bad that Mancini can't restore equilibrium to the universe. Boy, that would be a thing to learn, wouldn't it? That there's music out there so powerful that Henry Mancini cannot wipe it away. Well, let me check here. I think we're in luck. A6 happens to be a Mancini tune. It's, as a matter of fact, the one you heard before. It had Better Be Tonight. But this one has the extra scouring power of Miss Lena Horne.
Sail, baby, go, go, go. For as we natives say, fa, subito. If you're ever gonna kiss me, it had better be tonight. While the mandolins are playing and stars are bright. If you've anything to tell me, it had better be tonight.
Yeah!
Or somebody else may tell me and whisper the words just right. Meglio stasera, baby, go, go, go. Or as we natives say, speech. Be a nice Italiano and start to teach. Go ahead, show me how in old Milano lovers hold each other tight. But I warn you, sweet Paisano, it had better be tonight. Meglio stasera, baby, go, go, go. Or as we natives say, fa, subito.
Man, what a modulation. What key did they end up in? I don't even know if they knew. Okay, that ought to do it. If there's anything that ought to shame the other end of the jukebox, it's that. Let's go back to the Z's. Let's see what we have at Z8.
Good evening. Oh. I like the way you wear your dress.
Oh, sweet mother.
Good evening. I like the way you smile.
It's Cranko.
Good evening. I like your glassy look.
Cranko's party.
Where's the wine? Where's the tea? Where are the earth people? Good evening. No, I've been away. San Quentin, class of 59.
But Mancini was
good evening.
Supposed to take care
and
of
what
this.
Do you carry in your basket? It's a crazy arrangement. His wife gets a house and car. He gets visiting hours with the chauffeur each week. No alimony, but a big fight over who gets custody of the poodles. Someone on the Chronicle said Robinson Jeffers is a beat. Are you ready? She teaches school, and you should see the kids she keeps after class. I think she goes for 16-year-olds because they never talk. Can you imagine one of them telling his old man how he passed algebra? No, baby. When I say tea, I mean orange pecan and pecan. But I tell you what, if you got any of those Mexican mushrooms, that's a kick I haven't tried. Baby, I don't turn on for anybody, not even you. But I'll tell you something. If you come home with me, you won't have to turn on. Oh, then wear the red dress. Nothing? I just dig the way it rides on you. Hello, Big John. Where's the mom?
Oh, Cranko's hippie party is apparently interminable and unkillable, even with the healing power of Mancini. But it puts me in mind of something else. I wonder if it's here in the jukebox. I saw it months ago. If that song is some sort of spoken word discussion of a party full of beautiful people, there was something else that was put out. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Well, it's... It's perilously close to the Z's. It's actually P12. This is a song from, I think, like 1980, something or other, by Godley and Krem, who were part of 10cc. Ah, hell, they were 10cc. And they put out an album which was sort of a commercial death blow. One of several for them. And it featured a song which was essentially their way of saying, all the people we hang around with are coke-addled idiots, and we can't stand them. And here's a long musical proof. It may have been the equivalent of that piece that Truman Capote wrote about all the social x-rays and the people that he used to hang around with at the plaza, and when all those old, rich, thin ladies got a read of that, they never invited him to his parties anymore, and he died a broken man. Anyway, a little bit of Godley and Krem's take on Cranko's hippie party, circa the middle of the 80s, plus coke. Why this wasn't a hit, I'll never know.
Oh, hey. Sorry we're late.
You're not even first.
Oh, great. Hey, listen, I'm sorry, but we can't stay late. So we parked in the middle of the top by the gate. On the grass with the crass bouts wagging the state. Whose is it?
Mine.
You're kidding, it's great. Just love the way he's used the car like an empty canvas and let the rust eat itself into the overall design with such devastating spontaneity. David, you're ignoring me. Come here. Would you have to...
Well, you get the idea there. It goes on like that for another 7 minutes. Eventually, the narrator of the song, if there is one, ends up throwing up in the bathroom. Must have been the linguine or something like that. Yeah, it's a great song. And when you... have a hit like I'm Not in Love or The Things We Do for Love early on in your career, that buys you about 6 albums of self-indulgence before the hammer finally comes down. Not to say that Godley and Krem didn't do better. They did. It just wasn't it. You know, I just realized something. The self-indulgent, pseudo-poetic Godley and Krem tune was in the what? Was that in the P's or something? And the horrible, horrible spoken word stuff, Cranko's hippie party, and the morning is the foreskin of the day, or whatever that was. That's in the Z's. And the swank, cool, classic Mancini is in the A's. A and Z. Polar opposites, alpha and omega, yin and yang, salt and pepper. No, that's not accurate. I like both salt and pepper, but you get my point. I wonder if there's a median in which the coolness of Mancini and the insufferability of that poetry reach some sort of equilibrium in the middle of the alphabet. What is the middle of the alphabet, after all? Is it the K's, the L's, the M's? I'm going to take a look. But first I have to use the restroom. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
I saw the best cottage cheese of my generation. Conceived by Meadow Gold and dedicated to the proposition that all dairy products are not necessarily swinging equal. What is life, man, but a pineapple seeking to make the salad scene with Meadow Gold like Zen? You know? Are you hip to the protein, not the calories, in Meadow Gold land? Swing with it. Well, you dig? It takes a very progressive kind of dairy to make a cottage cheese that isn't square. It's a far-out cottage cheese for you to chew, with protein, not the calories for you. Yeah, Paul, and the reason that it tastes so Scooby-Doo is the people up at Meadow Gold like care.
I didn't know Meadow Gold cottage cheese went over big with the beets.
Oh, yeah, man, but it's better with pineapple.
Able to open up the main jukebox and take a look at the Z's and see exactly who that guy was. You know, the one, the day is the forebrain of the Mormons and Kreblick's hippie festival or whatever that was. You know who that was? You know who that guy was? That was Rod McEwen, the worst poet ever, ever in any language. That was Rod McEwen. So we have the spectrum now. In the A's of coolness, we have Henry Mancini. In the Z's of anti-cool, we have Rod McEwen being poetical. Who's in the middle? If we were to combine the two, the 60s swank, the adult, grown-up 60s swank of Mancini with the adolescent navel-gazing twaddle of Rod McEwen. I don't know. But let's press M1 and find out.
Let me tell you a funny story I made up about the guy who wanted to reach into in and couldn't. And it bothered him. It'd bother you, wouldn't it? Well, it sure bothered him. He tried anything he could think of, and nothing helped. He began to argue with his wife and say funny things he didn't mean. Things that made her look at him funny. He couldn't see his own kids when they were right in front of him, trying to tell him what they were trying to mean. His close friends were beginning to wonder the same things his faraway friends were wondering. He knew what was wrong, as well as anyone else. So he began to wrestle with himself, grabbing hold of himself at the foot of a flight of stairs he had never climbed before. And how he wrestles now with every dream he has ever dreamed. Hope grips him by the neck. Faith bear hugs his middle. Charity twists against him with toe holds. He's going to lose. 3-1 isn't fair. He will never be able to climb up the flight of stairs he has never climbed. Look at him there in a heap. And look, something is coming downstairs. Something that doesn't look like anything, that is only memory, long lost and forever grieved by ghosts. Listen to what it's saying. Listen.
Well, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. It's Ken Nordine.
I've heard of him.
The inventor of word jazz.
Sounds interesting.
You know, in his own way, he's as sophisticated an adult and swank and cocktail-soaked as the best of Mancini.
Couldn't be better.
And, on the other hand, he's as philosophically insipid as Rod McEwen.
True dat.
But I'd rather listen to him any day. Wouldn't you?
Sure I would.
Well, that'll do it for today, folks.
Doing it for today.
Oh, stop it! I've got to get back to work here, but I thank you for joining me here. This has been The Diner for Friday, June 22nd, 2007. We'll see you at the Buzz, of course, and barring that, we'll see you down the road.
Bar talk time, and this party's had.
Intellectual poseur. Hello? Mr. Nardine? Yeah, I'm the guy you hired to be in the left channel. Sort of playing off what you say. Am I ever going to get paid?